Today's program is brought to you by Amber App. Amber is a revolutionary iPad point-of-sale system that can be used at a restaurant, bar, coffee shop, or food truck. For more information, visit amberapp.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli, and we are coming to you live at 10 a.m. from Roberta's Restaurant in the shipping container. You guys can't see it, but the inside of the shipping container actually looks like a wooden cabin. I've never actually described this to anyone, but it looks like a log cabin complete with a taxidermy wild boar. And I think it's only appropriate for today. We have a good friend of mine, the wine director for the whole group of Daniel Beaulieu restaurants, the Dynex group. My good friend Daniel Jonas is here. Welcome.
Thanks, Joe. It's great to be here.
And the reason I think that the boar might be a little bit appropriate is that I always think one of my favorite restaurants in your group is the Cafe Beaulieu and all of the sausage. I'm sorry about that. Bar Beaulieu and all this. Yeah. It's hard to keep track of those.
Yeah, sometimes. I know. Especially with the Beaulieu name in every one of them.
But the Bar Beaulieu and all that great sausage and charcuterie. And it's just amazing.
Yeah, I love wild boar also. And it always reminds me of a story. I was having dinner at a winemaker's house down in the Languedoc, Laurent Vallée, who's the owner and winemaker at La Grange des Pères. A superb property down in Anyan, in the Languedoc. And every time I go there for dinner, he's roasting something in the fireplace, spit roasted, and then they take it out and carve it, and it's absolutely spectacular. So one day he's serving us, he tells me it's wild boar. I said, love that. He said, yeah, I ran over it with my tractor, threw it in the freezer. So here it is. I said, well, really getting close to the land with this one. So it was great. It was really, I think that's what I love about going to France and visiting the winemakers in those regions. And, the culture and just the personal contact brings so much life to wine. So thank you for having the boar here.
we'll get into some of your favorite wine regions in a little bit. I know you especially have quite the love of Burgundy, but I want to dive in a little bit to some of the restaurants that that you work with. You know, the name Daniel Beaulieu is I think just high quality is the first thing that comes to mind. I've been to all of the Beaulieu restaurants, at least in New York, and then recently one in Florida and in Palm Beach. And what always strikes me when I go to one of the restaurants, whether it's the fanciest Danielle or even DBGB around the corner, is the quality is always high, but everyone is seems warm and happy and approachable, and it's not as stuffy as you can imagine, as someone might imagine.
Well, you know, Daniel Beaulieu is one of the warmest, friendliest people on the planet. He's also incredibly intense and energetic, and nobody has more energy than Daniel. And his focus is extraordinary on perfection, quality, and I think that that's an attribute that that trickles down to the rest of the staff. And I'm on the corporate level, and the corporate people in the organization are it's infectious. And so when you see the boss who's got that attitude, then everybody strives to reach the same level of accomplishment and perfection. And I remember when I first got interested in this business, I remember going into Lutèce, the great Lutèce, the great temple of cuisine owned by André Soltner. And I remember seeing him walking around, and there was no greater restaurant, French restaurant in New York than Lutèce. And I was so overwhelmed, and I that set me off on this journey pursuing, just knowledge about French food and then eventually wine. And I always wanted to reach for the best and learn from the best. And I try to talk to our sommeliers in that way, and everybody that, you know, you may not get there right away, but if you're not trying for the best, then you're just going to be ordinary. You're never going to improve. So, you know, and that's what happened with Danielle. If I wanted to work for another chef after leaving Morinchet, I only wanted to work with the best. And I feel that that's what I've accomplished, because there's no greater. You know, I think that his food is great, but the combination of food and personality and warmth is everything that I strive for in a dining experience, and certainly in a work experience. And I just want to add with Danielle, of course he's a great chef and food is his world, but he's also a lover of wine. And I would not have been able to take on this role of wine director if I didn't think that I had the ears of the chef listening to me and the influence that I could bring to the organization regarding wine. And whenever we have a meeting over a wine dinner or an event or something, he's all ears. He's not dictating to me what they're cooking, find the wine. I'm dictating to him, saying these are the wines we're serving, and these are the characteristics, and this is what we have to watch out for, and this is what, you know, and the whole team of chefs are there listening, and it's like this real riffing session. It's like a jamming session. It's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I always say that the wine is the sauce that the chef never gets to taste. So you can completely change a dish by having the wrong wine with it. You can have a complete, perfect dish, and then it goes out and someone, or, you know, pairs it with a wine that just doesn't make any sense, and it can clobber the dish. So it's exciting that you guys have that kind of relationship.
Well, you know, and he understands it's a team effort. To satisfy the guest, it takes the whole team. It takes the back of the house, the kitchen, it takes the front of the house, the dining room service, and the sommelier, and putting it all together. You know, I mean, the Super Bowl was won by a team. It wasn't won by one player. Unfortunately, not the team I was rooting for. You know, at Danielle, it's a team effort, and everybody's really, you know, trying to hit on all cylinders to make it work.
Now, you have some all-star team members working with you. Certainly, Mike Madrigal and Raj Vaida, who actually is my neighbor, who lives in my building.
Right.
But how do you work with that, and many more, but how do you work with those various wine directors, maître sommeliers?
Let me just ask you, with Raj being your neighbor, instead of going over asking for, you know, a little salt or some sugar or something, you go over and ask for a bottle of Riesling, or?
Well, if I tell you, the day that I moved in, I didn't even know that he was living in the building. He we're moving in. We'd been up since 5 a.m. and Raj walks. He like opened the doors half open, and he comes in. He's like, "Hey, neighbor, how's it going?" He's like, "You want a bottle of wine?" So we're unpacking all of our stuff. Raj brings down some old 78 Riesling, and he's just sitting on our couch. We're drinking Riesling. Well, he's drinking Riesling. We're taking a sip while unpacking. Like, he's the most comfortable person in the world. And it was awesome, and it hasn't changed since then.
Oh, he's fantastic. Well, you know, getting back to your question, I think that, yeah, I'm really lucky that to be surrounded by such talent. Otherwise, I'd have to work a lot harder than I do. You know, these are talented sommeliers who have experience and real warmth and understanding. And I think that more than anything, they have passion for wine. And not only passion, it's one thing to have the passion, but to also be able to communicate that passion without being oppressive about it. Because, you know, sometimes somebody could come to the table and just keep talking and not stop talking. They're so passionate. But you have to be part psychologist also when you're going to a table. And these guys, whether it be Blue up at Café Blue, or Raj over at Danielle, or Michael Madrigal, and even the team of sommeliers over on that corner, 64th Street at Bar Blue and Blue Sud. You know, you've got Ronald and Eduardo and Christine and Michael, who's leading the team. And they all have their own personality and their own knowledge and their own tastes. But they know how to look at a customer and know what they're looking for and measure them. And then, of course, you've got Carrie Downtown at DBGB, which is a little more funky program and some interesting things, a great emphasis on beer. And
your whole team at DBGB, they're sweethearts. When we were opening up La Picho, there were times where, you know, your linen delivery doesn't come or whatever it is, and they're like, is anything you guys need, just we're always happy to help out. And so they've been like, it's just such a sweet, nice group of people you work with.
Well, it shouldn't be competitive with a neighbor, because the more people that come into the neighborhood, the better it is for everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm just real lucky to have people who are talented and able to really communicate. And, you know, we work together as a group also, where I will, you know, initiate some things or some ideas, and they'll take the ideas and run with them, and they become their ideas, you know. And that's really what I'm looking for. It's to improve, make it exciting, give dimension to the wine service, not just, you know, here's the menu, the wine list, and pull a cork and serve it. So that's the challenge for me, to try to keep it exciting and lively. And we have a number of programs that we are always trying to do, like Michael Madrigal and the Big Bottles Uptown. That's ongoing.
That's exciting. I follow him on Twitter, and I've taken taxis and changed my plans for the evening based on bottles that he's open that evening. That's truly, truly exciting.
He tortures some people by saying one glass left.
Oh man, yeah. So definitely, I would follow Michael on Twitter. And if you're anywhere near, I mean, he opens up just amazing wines and gives them away. Just like, here, take my incredible wine.
Yeah, well, they're pretty much at cost, and it's promotional, and it's to pull into the restaurant people who are like-minded about wine and want to have an opportunity to taste a great bottle. And it's a glass. I mean, it's one thing to spend $25 on a glass of wine, which is not inexpensive, but that same glass, if you were to order the whole bottle, you may be talking about a couple of $100. So I think that the restaurants, all of our restaurants, do serve some really fine wines by the glass as well. Yeah. You know what it's like. Sometimes you go and you have a bottle of red wine, but say, oh, I want to start with a nice white, but I can't drink a whole bottle or even a half bottle. I want a nice glass.
And it's rare to find an extensive half bottle list.
Yeah.
And so to be able to have a great, just like a great one glass without having to commit to a bottle is pretty special. So now you guys have restaurants in several different states and different countries. Do you have a normal work week, or are you, what's a normal week like for you?
Oh, for me? Well, I don't travel that far to the other restaurants. To Asia, or I've been to London and I've been to Canada, but you know, my work week is in New York, and I start early. I start around 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. To get a head start, I have to communicate with France quite a bit, so that's a good time of day to get them just after lunch. And then I really focus a lot on what happened the night before, looking at what happened at the restaurants the night before. And then in the afternoons, I like to go up around the restaurants either to a manager's meeting or to visit the sommeliers and see what's happening at the restaurants and just have contact with the sommeliers, because I think that not being on the floor anymore on a regular basis, it's difficult for me to be out of that situation. I spend so much time in that situation, on the floor, in contact with the consumer, that I really enjoy going up there. Like last night, I made it to DB, Danielle, Barbalu, and Boulou Soud. You know, I mean, it took a while, and I spent some time at each one, but it was great to, you know, almost like a, you know, give a pep talk and say to the sommeliers, what you sell tonight, and what's so-and-so drinking, oh, that looks like a nice bottle, and, you know, I think it keeps them engaged also. So that's fun.
That's fun. So so during the days, are you doing meetings with your various sommeliers? Is that like a weekly ongoing thing, or is it when you have time?
No, it's sort of like no, it's not. There's no schedule, and I've never been able to schedule my life. I mean, much to the disappointment of some people, but I can't stick to a schedule. I think I have a really good sense of timing and know what needs to be done, and I do pay a lot of attention to that when necessary. But, you know, I also have an import company, so I pay attention to that all the time. And as you know, and we were going to talk about this also, I organized a big Burgundy festival called La Palais.
And I definitely want to hear all about La Palais. I'm super excited for it. But let's take just a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll hear all about La Palais.
Perfect.
Here's.
You're listening to Crying Blues by the California Honeydrops on heritageradionetwork.org.
We'd like to send a special thank you to our latest business member, Amber Point of Sale. At Amber Point of Sale, their mission is to help food service business owners take control of their restaurants, bars, or cafes. Amber is an easy-to-use point-of-sale system that allows you to take orders tableside, process credit cards, run reports, and manage inventory all through Apple's iPad and without spending tens of thousands of dollars on a system too complicated to use. To learn more, head to amberapp.com, that's AmburApp.com, or give them a call at 888-770-2205 to discuss what Amber can do for you. To learn more about becoming a business member, email us, info@heritageradionetwork.org.
And we're back on In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm here with Daniel Jonas, the wine director for the Daniel Ballou Restaurant Group, and also the owner of Daniel Jonas Imports, an author, contributor, sommelier, and also the organizer of the La Palais of the in the United States. So, Daniel, we're just about to get into. And I'm sure that I forgot quite a few of your other accomplishments, but we're about to talk about La Palais, and please take it away.
Well, yeah, I mean it's a great joy for me to organize this event. But you just mentioned a few things that I do, and that's just about it. That's all I do. I don't do anything else. Although I do try to be a father and a husband also, and you know, I always feel like I'm not really doing anything well because there's so much and I'm torn in a lot of directions. But, you know, I was talking about teams before, and the teams that I have are what make it possible for me to do what I do and try to do the best I can. And, you know, I mentioned the team at Danielle, and they're just extraordinary. And the team behind me on the Palais is what really makes it successful. I've got people in the office. I've got Bethany Kasich and Max Goldberg-Liu and my wife, Sally. And I have Jamie Dutton, who's living in Boston but is able to work remotely and is like a powerhouse. And Amanda Goldberg, who lives in France, in Provence. And she's key also because she's done it. She and Amanda and Jamie have done it for about five or six Palais, and It's because of them and their support and their amazing focus, concentration, and organization that it comes off, because I'm an organizational disaster. Everybody's happy when I'm not there, I think. But again, I think I have a good sense of timing and I know what has to be done, and I have a sensibility on the field that I want for the event. So the Pole A is really, for those who don't know it, and many people don't, it's a Pole A is a term that applies to a harvest celebration that takes place in Burgundy at the end of harvest. And the Pole de Merceau is an event that was that popularized the Pole itself. A Pole takes place at every individual domain celebrating the harvest. But the great-grandfather of Dominique Lafont, Domaine des Comtes Lafont, brought the whole village of Merceau together to celebrate. And it gradually grew into this major Burgundian celebration, La Pole de Merceau. And being a friend of Dominique, he invited me to it once about 10, 12 years ago. I was so in love with it, of people just bringing wines, winemakers bringing wines from their cellars to share with family and friends. And it became this long afternoon from 12 noon till about 6, 7 o'clock at night of eating, drinking, talking, sharing. And it really distilled, for me, it distilled what the wine experience should be. It's about getting together without the pretension and just sharing and bringing people together. And I've always attempted to do that through wine dinners. And when I saw this, I said, let's try to do something similar to this in New York, La Pole de New York, which was in the year 2000. And it's gradually grown to the point where it's a major Burgundy festival, major Burgundy wine festival.
You have all these great winemakers coming to town, collectors sharing incredible wines, sommeliers, chefs. Mm. It's a truly exciting event, and I'm honored to be a part of it as a sommelier and as a our opening night is going to be at La Picho.
Yes,
it's truly, I mean, humbling and exciting. How has the event grown over years from the start to today?
Well, it started very small. Nobody knew what this was. Nobody really knew what a Pole was, and nobody was that comfortable about paying to come to dinner and then bring their own wine, because it's never been an inexpensive event. There are a lot of, this tremendous amount of overhead with chefs like Daniel Boulou and Michel Toigros coming in. We've brought in other French chefs and so on, and the first year was a financial disaster, and the second year was financially difficult. And then, we were able to make it work and improve, I think, on the comfort for the winemakers and the guests and expand the program. But it's important for me to say also that it's not only about the elite, the 1% of Burgundy and the Grand Cru, although this is what is made perhaps the reputation of Burgundy, the great bottles of Montrachet and Latache and Romani Conti and Musigny and so on. But it's important for me to emphasize the lesser-known wines of Burgundy made by really dedicated, serious winemakers. The off-the-beaten-track wines, whether it be a Bourgogne Rouge or an Aligoté or a Saint-Romain, wines, great Burgundies that people can drink every day, because that's what most of Burgundy is. And it shouldn't be perceived as only these elite wines that one may never get to taste, unless they come to the Pole, of course.
Yeah, so when your strategy for finding a Burgundy at a more approachable price, would you go with an off-the-beaten-path appellation or maybe the entry-level wine of a great domain? One of my favorites is one of your wines, the Macon Village from Lafon, I think is just such a great value.
And it's a great wine.
And a great wine.
And a good friend of his, well, Dominique introduced me to another guy who makes a Saint-Romain, which is not well known, Alain Gras. And this also, I mean, it's 100% Chardonnay, as is the Macon. And they give you sort of a wink towards Merceau. You know, it doesn't have the depth and the complexity, but they're wines that you can drink all the time and not feel bad about just pulling the cork and having a couple of glasses and then having more the next day. Or maybe you're even going to deglaze your pan when you're sautéing some fish or poultry or something. So that's, I mean, that's the idea. I want wine to be accessible and not this like painful experience. Like, oh my God, I've got this, you know, $500 bottle, and who am I going to share it with? And is it the right time? Is it ready? And could I have sold it at auction? It shouldn't be like that.
So, are you still doing events? One of the things that I thought was really cool last time was some of the events where maybe you don't have, you know, over $1,000 to spend on this this dinner, but you can maybe go to some of the events around the Palais. So, what kind of events are you doing this
year? Well, there are a lot of there's some seminars, there's some tastings. We're doing one event without anyone whatsoever. And just introduced it yesterday because we got final confirmation, the whole thing. It's called A Conversation with Aubert de Vilaine. And Aubert de Vilaine is the co-manager of Domaine de la Romanée-Conti. And it's going to be just a talk with him at Danielle. $250. It's going to be breakfast and a very intimate setting to talk with Aubert de Vilaine. And I think that's cool. We're doing a tasting of what we're calling the outer boroughs of Burgundy, which are some of these off-the-beaten-track appellations. And to answer your question, I don't really look for appellations as much as I look for producers. You know, I think that wine is a crafted product, and I think that you should look for the best craftsmen. So that's what I look for. And there's another thing that we started this year. We actually launched it in San Francisco, but very quietly, just to see, you know, if we were going to regret what we were getting into. But it went well, and this year we're doing a Burgundy Week, La Palais Burgundy Week, which is to expand the notion of Burgundy to the entire restaurant community in New York, not just during the Palais. And you're participating, I think, at Amphora.
We'll be participating at Amphora,
and sure. And there are, I think, about 30 or 40 restaurants throughout New York that will be serving wines by the glass, or Burgundy by the glass, pairing menus, tasting menus, and flights of wine and such. So I think that for about a week from, I think we said February 26th to March 9th, which is more than a week, but let's just call it a week. It's going to be a long week. Burgundy should be flooding the streets of New York.
I mean, I think this is great because you won't find a sommelier out there who doesn't truly love Burgundy, but at the same time, there's a perception that it's something that's really expensive and, you know, exclusive. But I think one of the things that we like about it is that there are very few medium to large size domains in Burgundy. It's mostly smaller producers, very site specific, terroir driven wines. They seem a lot of producers are making well crafted wines as opposed to Bordeaux, for instance, which has more of an impression of something, a larger, you know, larger estates owned by foreign investment and that sort of thing. So I think it's just it's a great thing to be able to introduce people to Burgundy that you can actually drink that's at an affordable price.
That's the idea. Yeah. And also by having Burgundy Week, you have like an army of sommeliers who are similar minded and want to share the Burgundy with their consumers. And hopefully by this this mass of people and promotion, it'll help dispel the image of Burgundy as being elitist, like Bordeaux. And I'm a little afraid that it could be going that direction because prices are so high and quantities are so low and the demand is so great all over the world. Asia is a big market now as well, that it's important to reinforce that there's great value Burgundy, and it's made by farmers who get on tractors, who really, you know, you can connect with. So hopefully this Burgundy Week, through the support and communication of sommeliers like you and your team and everybody else, that the consumer will see that, hey, Burgundy, you know, I don't have to have $1,000 or $500 to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it by the glass, and I'm excited also because this will give me a chance to refocus and find. I think we'll be doing like three or four Burgundies by the glass during Burgundy Week, so this will give me a chance to refocus on it.
Great. I know we're running out of time, right?
Yeah.
I just want to, you know, get in a plug for what we're doing at the Dynex Group. The rest of, we've divided Burgundy into its regions of the Beaujolais, Mâconnais, Chalonnais, Chablis, and the Côte d'Or, which encompasses Côte de Beaune and Côte de Nuit. And each restaurant will be specializing in that area. So DBGB will be doing Beaujolais and a Beaujolais sausage. And then at Barbelou, we're going to be doing flights of Chablis and wines from that region. and so on and so forth. So you can go to each of these restaurants and fill. There'll be a little link if you email me with this card. Ask the sommelier if you go to those restaurants, and you could win a chance to have dinner in the skybox at Danielle for two people with our compliments.
Wow! So they explain that. I've heard about the skybox. I've never been in.
Well,
the skybox
is like the inner sanctum. It's right next to Danielle's office. You go through his office into the box overlooking the kitchen where you've got 30 chefs, you know, masters putting out the food at Danielle. And so you get to sit there and watch the show and enjoy a meal for two. But you have to dine in one of Danielle's restaurants and fill out this form and submit it, and you may win.
Is it true that he still has dinner there Sunday nights? Is that...
He hasn't invited me. I don't know.
Well, you know, one thing I just want to say is there's an idea in the industry, in the restaurant industry, that a really nice sommelier and a new, young, enthusiastic sommelier who's not stuffy is a new thing. But Daniel Jonas has been doing it for a lot longer than anyone else. So really, it's just such a pleasure to have you here, and definitely someone that I look up to, and I learn every time that we chat, and also someone I enjoy just hanging out with. So
thanks, Joe.
It's an honor to have you here, Daniel. And thank you all for listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.